Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, we do listener calls about pulling balls, y'alls. Also revisit the funniest love line call ever recorded.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Carolla fans rejoice. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. February Sack brings you a Bobino cord wrap to keep that ball of USB snakes in order. To soften up that face of yours, we're throwing in Men's Health Best Face Mask of the Year, the Bro Mask. And to keep the COVID and fecal particles off your phone, you'll also get a pack of Screenshine Wipes. Plus, every shipment comes with a bottle of your choice. Head to Carolla Drinks for a one-time buy or keep the shipments coming. Prep your mail's box for Adam's Monthly Nut. Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jay Moore, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, like lunch meat, he's always ready, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We've got to manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, look at me, you know, exposing my scrotum being on fire.
Oh, boy.
All right, a little jackass talk. We got some car stuff with
Gina. No, that was from the audiobook, from the kids' book you wrote. You didn't know I tracked that down.
Gina's got some car stuff. She may not know it. It's van stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, it's like I do.
She's like, huh?
I got some car stuff.
Yeah.
I have some general complaints. First, this. The promise of the packaging with the tearaway strip at the top and then the resealable zipper, not panning out is as much as I would have liked.
No. So what's wrong?
Well, there's two things. First off, I noticed with many different people that the toothpaste container with the flip cap mostly left open.
And you can't even close it at that point because there's so much gunk around it.
Right. So that's on us. That's right. On humanity. That's on the crazy lethargy, noise in the head. Can't flip the lid down. I've noticed it with ketchup squeeze and mayonnaise squeeze containers. I've noticed that. And again, no fault of the manufacturer on that front. That's right. Just us being the laziest human beings on the planet. I mean, there's no way when somebody first designed and innovated the flip top on the toothpaste, there's no way that the person thought fully 89% of Americans would still leave it flipped up.
No, that was the end of our problems right there. No more missing caps, no more things dried out to be left open.
But I guess if you think about it, if screwing the cap back onto toothpaste is a bridge too far, then anything's possible.
Right.
For that lazy American.
We established that it's a problem that can't be overcome.
I would like to know what country had the highest batting average on flipping the cap down, and then I would like to move to that civilization.
I'm going to wager a guess. I am profiling, but I'm going to say Japan.
Japan. Yes, yeah, we all know Japan. Yeah. Right. Does that make us racist or xenophobic?
No, I think they're honorable folk.
Yes, to say that their culture is better than ours.
Yeah. Right. Right. All right. So, but Jimmy for Christmas got me, must have been 14 jumbo pouches of macadamia nuts.
Right.
And they all have the tear top with the pre-zip. I can't get the zip to seal correctly. Mm-hmm. The tear tops are not going how you want them to go. Some are like, just use scissors. Like, it shows a picture of a scissors. Right. Like, oh, if I'm getting the scissors out, then we've defeated our purpose here.
The resealable pack is the lowest success rate is cheese. Like, yes. Once you get a little piece of cheese in there, yep. It's over. That cannot
be
shredded cheese, yes.
Yep.
Will not be resealed.
Is it time for all? Well, first off, I don't feel like this technology has changed in 41 years. I feel like the promise of the resealable zip thing is over. The only innovation I've seen, and this would work, but I'm not sure how as it pertains to buying cheese or macadamia nuts, is the zipper with the actual handle. The actual zipper
like
on it,
zipper.
Where you get to grab the thing and slide it across.
Oh, like the Ziploc slide.
Yes, but I guess you couldn't do that if you had a pre-sealed thing. You could only sell the bags in a bundle. If it was pre-sealed, it'd be tougher. But either way, I need us to innovate on that, because I find myself trying to slide it, but then there's a move where I try to mash it together. You know, I try to push it, and then at some point I get frustrated and I just flop it over on itself and use its own weight.
At the end of the day, I do that, but I go one further. I flop it over and I take a rubber band and I just wrap the rubber band around it and throw it on the counter.
I took Adam Carolla's advice, which I've been using for years, which is for things that are, you know, for those 50-cent items, just buy a bunch of them and put them around your house. I have bought the clips, the not the chip clips, like the big ones, but like the ones that are
like binder clips.
Between that, and clothespin.
Yeah.
I have 20 of those, and that's how we keep those things sealed.
I still need the zipper to work out better, the resealable to work out better. So anyone who's listening, who's in the manufacturing industry,
on that.
Please. All right.
You know, just when you say it hasn't changed in 40 years, and I know, don't at me, because trust me, I'm hip to this game, and I know there's been a few tweaks here and there. You know what else hasn't changed? Tupperware. It's still a plastic bowl or a plastic rectangle and a plastic lid. And sometimes you'll get the little lock latch, which is fun, but that's about it.
We have the fancy ones, but the lock latch. And it's just Tupperware with just lock latches.
Yes, well, that's the extent of the change.
I hope you guys are sitting down. I have many thoughts on that I formed this morning as well, which is the round. I did it this morning with the small round glass one. So it's round. It's about 3 inches around.
Yeah.
It's fairly shallow and it's glass. It has 4 flip snap lids on the round top. It's got the right, left, and the front and the back.
Yeah.
My feeling is it's also got like the rubber gasket on top, and it's got the glass. When you now, here's my big time saver.
We have the same ones.
I looked the devil in the eye and didn't blink today when I snapped the lid back on, snapped 2 of them down across from each other, and said, "That shall be enough
devil
freshness."
Devil may care. That devil may care.
Rebel.
That is enough freshness for me. I this thing is 3 inches. It's got a lid on it. It's been battened down. There's
Where's
a rubber gasket. There's no air
point.
Shall get into this. It did not need 4. 2 did it. All right. So we had a funny thing happen that Gina sent along to us yesterday, which was Ted Nugent, who was doing a diatribe about Rush Limbaugh, and then at the end listed some great Americans.
Great Americans. Great American voices.
Great American voices. And I guess we can play the last, I don't know, 10 seconds
like
or something.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. He just reels off a bunch of names. And the reason this is weird is, well, we'll tell you in a second.
Great man. Mark Levin is a great man. Mark Davis is a great man. Michael Berry is a great man. Joe Pags is a great man. Frank Beckman is a great man. Lars Larson is a great man. Adam Carolla is a great man. These are the voices
his
of
dog
the people.
Started whimpering
Let's
at that
point.
No, anything but that.
His dog remained silent through Lars Larson, and then when he heard me, he was like, he did that Scooby ding. Like,
what?
Now, the Gina found that, and Gina sent it to us. God love Gina. But it wasn't saying that I was trying to get the hashtag going for Ted Nugent to replace Chris for the for The Bachelor.
Yep.
You gotta kind of wonder how life works, because Ted's name.
When's last time he came up?
Comes up from time to time, but yeah. I certainly don't do a hashtag, let's get a Ted Nugent thing going. And no. To the best of my knowledge, Ted Nugent doesn't mention me much, because I think we probably would have heard about it.
100% bullshit.
So, wait, we got to mash that up with Adam Carolla's a great man. I think right. That's it. We got to isolate Adam Carolla's a great man, and then Brian and Ted saying 100% bullshit. But we'll figure it out. But it kind of makes you wonder how the universe works. So he mentions my name a few hours before I mention his name, same day. I have no knowledge of it, but do I?
Cosmically.
Has it made its way to you in the ether?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who knows how these, what enters? I mean, I don't know. Just think about your dreams for a second and wonder how your stupid brain works.
Well, who mentioned who first? Do we have timestamps on this?
Yes.
I think the Ted one came first, but we didn't know it. We were recording.
Yeah. Right. But it's, of course, it's, yeah, I guess it is. It's more powerful if he put it out into the universe and then I somehow imbibed it through some sort of psychic divining rod or something, and then spat it out several hours later on this show. You know, it wasn't half a day. It was a couple of hours later I evoked his name. So that was kind of funny. All right. Now, Gina has a van.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you guys can mash if you want to try to mash. Is Brian ready to mash?
Indeed.
Okay.
Adam Carolla is a great man. 100% bullshit.
Ted, talking out of both sides of his mouth.
I know.
He can't decide.
It was worth the wait. All right. Gina, saw a van.
Yeah. Now, I didn't see it personally. This was posted in your lovely wife's For Crying Out Loud group on Facebook. And I asked the girl, I go, I got to have this for the show. I got to have this. So somebody posted this on the For Crying Out Loud Facebook that this is a van outside, you know, like outside my house in my neighborhood in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And I'll show it to you. It's Stillman Electric.
Oh, my.
And help me describe the logo. There's a guy.
Is he ogling her?
Yeah. There's a guy who's sort of pretending to work on like a panel, an electrical panel. Mm-hmm. And there's a hot, like Daisy Duke looking woman outside with her
Veronica from the Archie comics is basically standing there.
Right. Yeah. And underneath it says, "Let us check your shorts." And this is a company and a van that is in circulation today.
That's good.
Licensed in Virginia and North Carolina.
Well, we always kind of talk about this, you know, and as we get into Amazon and Walmart and corporate this and corporate that, we're not going to have any more of this. Remember this simple pleasure when you were a kid? You'd go into a hardware store, or maybe you'd go with your dad to like the transmission shop or something. You know, there used to be, first off, remember running errands with your parents?
Oh, yeah.
The worst.
The majority of my childhood.
That doesn't happen anymore, does it? The running errands with the kids. I don't even think. I mean, obviously, there's kind of a financial component to it, but not that much. I just feel like kids' job, it was like their job to stand next to you and be bored off their ass while you talk to some guy about snow tires behind the counter.
Go, you guys ever go clothes shopping with your mom? God forbid.
I was just going to say that the majority of my childhood memories are, and I would never let this kid do this, is being 5 or 6 years old, her going to Macy's to pay the charge amount, and me hiding in the racks of jeans, which she couldn't find me. She didn't care. She knew I was around somewhere, but just hiding from her. Or can you imagine how scary that would be?
How about the simple act of waiting in the car? And sometimes it could be an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Like they're going to the dentist and you're like, I'll just sit in the car, just sitting out in the parking lot in their car.
Which had nothing to do.
Your car wasn't on. You couldn't listen to the radio.
You didn't have a phone.
It had the keys.
But remember this simple. So now it's all Amazon and big box this and Costco. But remember when you'd walk into these businesses, the businesses had their own personalities.
Yes.
There would be the business with the business cat. It had the cat
in
it.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be weird. Just the cat would be floating around, you know, on the other side from the countertop, you know, that had the junk in it. How about the simple pleasure of gazing into the countertop? Like, that's where they kept the expensive stuff or the cool parts in the auto parts place or the cool tools would be in there. You know, you'd have to look down at the counter, look through the glass and see the watches or the auto parts or the tools or whatever it is that they had that was cool in there. Then there would be the signs. Like, I always loved the plaques up there that said, like, you can leave me alone, I'll do the work and have it back in a week, or you could help and it'll take 2 weeks,
2 weeks.
Or something like that. Or,
always sassy.
Or about how expensive things could be, which is always weird. Remember, Max Patty, you're not going to remember this. Dawson's going to remember this. Remember those weird little plastic white figurines with the character, like a kind of joke character on it that had little sayings at the bottom of it? They would pop up on the counters of these businesses as well. I would describe them as these little, they're 6-7 inches tall. They were always white. Yep. That a character, and the character kind of looked like the Mad Magazine guy.
Yes, like Alfred Newman.
Spy versus Spy?
No, Alfred E. Had kind of an Alfred E. to it. And they'd be a little thing at the bottom. It looked like a little trophy, but it wasn't. Yes. It had a little, sometimes it'd be, you know, number one mom or something like that. But it would normally have some kind of weird saying about their business or about you. I didn't know what to call those things, but they would, well, you'd have to like walk in. First off, the places had a smell. Like, you'd walk in and they had their own kind of smell. They had they all had their own system to alert that you were walking in. It'd be a bell hanging from the door, or it would be a weird buzzer, like electronic eye thing.
Right. Or like the fancy bong bong.
Right. And you have to wait for the person to come from the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go through some curtain or something. All that weird kind of Americana stuff. I feel like it's fallen by the wayside. Yes,
back when the office, when the place of work, that office, that whatever, that storefront was kind of an extension of your home, like your personality. Like, that's where you hung out in the back, waiting for customers to show up.
Right. Yeah. So let us check out your shorts. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Let us check out your shorts.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad that
that drop.
You know, it's so funny how utilitarian vans have become, because if you think about it, these vans, you see these vans all over the place now, not this one, but I mean, vans, they're now all outfitted with racks on the top and these bed boxes, things that slide out, and every nut and fastener has its place. When I was growing up, vans had water beds in them and shag carpet on the ceiling. Like, if you think about your average van these days, it's like a work van. It's done up for work. It's ergonomic. It's got all the different kinds of racks on it and all the ways to separate everything and the little tool containers and boxes and stuff like that. What could be less practical than a waterbed paneling and shag carpet in a van? I mean, it's the exact opposite. Like, if the guys who drove the custom vans in the 70s ever would have known this is where vans were heading, where there will be the exclusive dominion of either soccer moms trying to transport kids versus and or tradesmen, you know, with ladders and piping and all that kind of stuff. It's very disappointing where vans have gone.
Do you think the ubiquity of the food truck has, obviously the vans have gone out of style for whatever reason, but do you think the ubiquity of the food truck has made vans less impressive? Like, what they can get inside of it, what they can do inside of a food truck is spectacular. Yeah. How things are outfitted, but now it's like, okay, yeah, I've seen one, seen them all.
Yeah, I wish the van. The problem with the van stuff, it was pretty. It was a rolling Me Too movement. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing in that van that did not reek of sex with underage girls. I mean, that's all it was.
And you're going to go out crying.
Yes,
problematic van.
Yeah. I had Pete Brock, who I spoke to earlier in the day, actually, who's because I'm right in the middle of rebuilding one of Pete Brock's BRE race cars. And Pete Brock is a sort of automotive legend. He was in a couple of my documentaries. He created the Daytona Coupe. I've told you guys for Shelby. First off, it's insane that Pete Brock is hanging out in Nevada, and you can get him on the phone to talk to him about what sponsorship this car would have had on it back in the day. Was it Simon Eyes? Were they a sponsor? Was Coca-Cola a sponsor? Literally calling him and asking him about color swatches that he painted. He painted this car I have in, 1968. 1969, and I can still ask him about what color yellow was it, because they would have gotten, oh, that was a Chevy yellow, and that was a Ford white we painted the car with, or whatever. So
that's pretty amazing, considering that, like, from year zero to year 1920, whatever you're restoring or excavating or whatever, you can't ask the person. You have to take a guess or do some research.
How old is he? 80, 90?
Pete Brock's probably in his early 80s. The thing about Brock is Brock was working for GM when he was like 18 or 19. He's 84 now. He basically designed one of the most iconic Corvettes from the early 60s when he was 20. Like, we used to let young people do shit. I think it had to do with the war. You know what I mean? I mean, guys flying B-17s that were 22. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine, like, finding your average 22-year-old and going, I need you to get in this B-22 with the ball turret gunner and the bombardier and the crew of 11, and he'd go, you're not the boss of me, dude. I'm going to Chipotle.
Really was the greatest generation.
I can beat Super Mario 3. Does that help you?
Right. So he was young, and when he got with Shelby, he was probably in his super early 20s, and when he designed the Daytona Coupe, that's when they basically put a new body on a Shelby Cobra to give the speed they needed on the straightaway, the big tracks in Europe, and they got an extra 20 miles an hour out of the Mulsanne Straight and everything. Anyway, he sent me an email today, which was probably from the mid-70s, one of his, back when they used to sell stuff in the newspapers in the back of the Road and Track magazine or something. But he sent me the Daytona Coupe, which is, you can read it, Max Pata. And we'll put it up at AdamCarolla.com.
Yeah, so, well, in the email, Pete just wrote, opportunity missed, and put a sad face. And it's Cobra Daytona Coupe, original prototype built in Venice, California, to the design of Pete Brock. The other five were built in Italy. Driven to GT win Sebring 1965. Other international victories, driven by Craig Breedlove to 23 world and national speed records at Bonneville this year, lightly detuned and converted into a docile street machine, world's fastest GT, features street Cobra 289 CID plus four dual Webers, full custom interior and beautiful body and paintwork, licensed for street use, price $12,500, and then the phone number.
That car's $30 million. Now, so
holy moly,
yeah,
that was in a newspaper ad.
Yeah, I guess it was a newspaper ad.
Wow,
classified ads. Yeah.
So this is the first the original prototype, as it says. So it was after its racing career was sold to a slot car magnate, Jim Russell, who would drive it around to different slot car shops, and then he needed to pay for his daughter's college education. He sold this car to Phil Spector.
Yeah.
And then Spector drove it around the streets and got so many speeding tickets that his lawyer's like, you gotta get rid of this car. But Spector just drove it into the ground, and then all of a sudden it just disappears. And all trace was lost by like the mid-70s. Everyone thought it was destroyed. And then in 2001, it was discovered in a rental storage unit. The owner committed suicide by burning herself alive.
Jesus.
And after that, her mom and her friend got into a legal battle over who gets it, because in her will she gave the contents of the storage to her friend, but her mom's like, I'm her mom, and she already sold it to a guy in Pennsylvania. It is now in it's in the National Historic Vehicle Registry, the first vehicle added to it.
Yeah, that I've told you guys the story before. It reminded me a couple of weeks ago where there was some story about a burning body, and we said, like, someone said it could have been suicide or something, and then we were kind of joking, like, how could it be suicide if we found your burning body? But Phil Spector had it. Phil drove it around. Phil, too loud, too hot, too fast. And I'd also picture that nut job driving an insanely fast race car, essentially, probably with a gun between his legs, you know. And he essentially just gave it to his security guy, you know, or maybe sold it to a security guy for like $1,000. And the security guy just put it away. And then the security guy died, and the thing went to his daughter. And then at some point, 25 years went by, and somebody started to figure out, wait a minute, I think this, like, middle-aged chick from West Covina who, like, works at the DMV or at a library or something, I think she has this multi-million-dollar car just in her busted-up garage in West Covina, or wherever she was. And so people started snooping around, and even the great Carol Shelby went to the house, and she wouldn't let him in. She wouldn't want to talk to him. And people are like saying, I have millions of dollars for that car. And she's like, no, thanks. And at a certain point, the guy from the Finian collection, I think, in Philadelphia.
Simeon
collection in Philadelphia. This guy showed up with the right amount of money, or she was in the right mood, and said she took, at the time, they don't know, but maybe it's $3 or $4 million. And then later on, she went on a hike, covered herself with gasoline, lit herself on fire.
Jesus.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and Phil Spector didn't turn out that good either.
It's a curse.
I kind of wonder, like, they couldn't get rid of that car when it, like, came back from Europe. Nobody wanted it. No one wanted to pay for it. And now it's, I say 30 million. It could be 50 million bucks. So
I wonder why she didn't want to sell it. What did she care?
This is a mentally ill person.
I guess. I think she was a mentally ill person. Yeah. And then the dispute and the stuff. But that's the story of that car. But one of our parents could have bought it in 1976 for
shit.
Well, and by the way, it said 12.5.
Not your parents.
All of our parents.
Probably got it for an 11. my dad's like, that's
your parents.
My dad'd be like, that's a price of two houses.
That's what I was going to say. He would have bought a house for $11,000.
Literally did, probably the same year. I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier today, and I was saying, you going and doing the Fox show tonight? He's like, well, I do the Fox show, but I do it from home. And then I go, how come you're not going in anymore? And he's like, they won't let me in. And I'm like, but you had COVID, and you keep telling me that you keep testing your antibodies and they're, like, through the fucking roof. And he's like, yeah, I'm one of the few people who can't give it and can't get it. Like, it's impossible for me to get it, and it's impossible for me to give it. And I was like, I know, so why aren't you going into work? And he's like, they won't let me. And I just thought, this is a very slippery slope part of society, everyone. These rules are rules, or here's our policy. Like, let's please try to use our brains just a little bit more. If there's groups that can't get it and can't give it, it may be okay for them to return for work. And I also heard this theory, which is actually kind of makes sense, which is we want everyone to get the vaccine. So everyone's kind of pushing on the vaccine. But we're simultaneously saying after you get the vaccine, you still got to wear the mask, you still got to social distance, and it's not a good idea to travel, which is, in my mind, it's going to make a lot of people go, fuck it, what do I need the vaccine for? Like,
right, I'm already doing it.
I want a vaccine so I can travel, so I can leave the mask in the car. Like, I thought the idea was get the vaccine and get back to normal. If people keep preaching, get the vaccine, but we're going back to where we were, then it's going to disincentivize a lot of people from getting the fucking vaccine. So maybe we should pitch a slightly different message.
But as you would say, could it go any other way?
No, and I also was watching CNN this morning, and they had the head of the LA Unified Teachers Unions or whatever. You know, we're not sending people back. We need the vaccine. The teachers need to be vaccinated. And so the news anchor asked a good question, which is, you're not going to let the teachers back until they're all vaccinated. Can you enforce that with them? What about teachers who don't want to be vaccinated? Sure. And the guy's like, well, that's a decision they're going to have to make. Like, well, wait a minute,
dude. That invalidates the argument.
Which is it?
Yeah, which is it? Like, if the whole deal is, and look, I'm sure it's not the lion's share of them, but what I'm saying is if the rules are no one goes back into the classroom unless they're vaccinated, then you get to decide whether you're vaccinated or not. That doesn't feel like it's going to serve the purpose of getting them back into the schools.
I heard Brian Suits this morning, and it sounded like they were talking about that the military can opt out of being vaccinated. And he's like, all I know is before I went to Afghanistan, it was not a choice.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
They had to get experimental malaria vaccine.
Yeah, if you want to go to Africa, you got to get a litany of shots.
We didn't get a choice, and now apparently everyone can opt out.
Yeah. Yeah. My thing is, I think most people will take it. I'm not that freaked out by it, but I feel like if you have a union and your rules are we are not going back to school until our union members are vaccinated, then you may impose that upon your union if those are the rules that you're setting in place. All right, Jay Moore is going to join us soon. We're going to get some ball pullers. We're going back to normal. When we go to OKC, we're going to get those ping pong balls going, and we're going to get someone up on stage to pull those bad boys. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk to some potential ball pullers right after this.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Another great book by the Ace Man, Lord Adam Carolla. Podcasts, movies, documentaries, and books. I got a cover in Kindle version, and field book is audible in being listened to.
Easy for you to say. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your 5-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Well, we got a hero on line one, Nolan, who's 37, wants to pull them balls. He's a firefighter. Nolan?
Ooh. Hey, Ace Man, get it on.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, firefighter, greatest job in the world.
Absolutely.
Greatest job. Give us your schedule. This is what initially attracted me to wanting to be a firefighter.
My schedule is I work 24 hours on, 24 hours off. 24 hours on, 24 hours off, 24 hours on, and then 4 days off.
Oh, wow. That is the best, yeah, right?
It is.
Because you just, it's, you know, you have the whole fucking day. And the other thing is I don't think people really get, I used to get this when I do late night radio. Having the day off on a Wednesday is better than a Saturday. The city is your oyster. Everyone's at work. Everyone's gone. There's no traffic. All that shit you need to get done. You want to go, look, you want to go shopping at a Trader Joe's on a Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's a shit show. You want to go on a Tuesday at 11 a.m.? You own that joint.
Yeah, absolutely. The golf course wide open. Oh. Wednesday at 9 a.m. It's all yours, man.
No, that's 100% true. You can go see a matinee, a first run movie. You're the only one in the theater. Oh my God! And if a fire breaks out, man, you're gonna be ready.
It's hero time.
And the 24 on, and it's not like 24 on where you're working the entire. You're getting paid to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have a pretty set schedule until. You know, we eat there at the station. We go get groceries and we cook there as a family, and we eat, you know, as our crew. And then after about 5 o'clock, we all kind of take it back a little bit, and everybody finds something to do, and we fire the TVs up and It's great, man. Yeah, getting paid to sleep. You know, there's some nights when we don't sleep, but there's a lot of nights when we do sleep, and it's hard to complain about getting paid to sleep.
What do you, let's talk meals. What is, what's the schedule? Is there a cookie? Do you got cookie over there?
Like, you're better than
no, chili. We've got five guys at my station. There's, we all pretty much share the duties. We all get together in the morning and decide what we're going to go eat. And, we take the engine to the grocery store and we buy enough for both meals, and we just kind of do it as a group. And whoever feels like cooking that day, they cook. Whoever has the best idea, that's what we go with.
Engine to the grocery store.
Yep.
We take
it there because we have to be ready to respond. And, you know, there's been all tons right. of times when we have a grocery cart full of groceries that we're about to take back, and we're waiting in line to check out, and the tones go off, and we have to leave the cart right there, and we go. So it's a crazy deal.
Oh, and the good news is you're a firefighter from Oklahoma City, so you don't have any of these retarded no firefighter from Oklahoma City has dietary restrictions, right? You know, no vegan guys, well, no veggie
I'm
guys.
I'm not actually from the Oklahoma City department. We're a paid department outside of – it's a – about an hour from Oklahoma City.
But if you
Norman?
If you try to
Lawton.
If you if you try to pull a move in Los Angeles, like let's just say forget about firefighters and forget about Norman, Oklahoma. Uh-huh. Let's just say Los Angeles, California, and folks that worked at Netflix. And I said,
go on.
Hey, I'm doing dinner tonight. So what are we all in the mood for? Do you know the list of
what hands go up? A lot of hands.
The list of the list of what they couldn't eat would be longer than the shopping list of ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a guy that doesn't do every once in a while you'll have a guy that, you know, don't like mushrooms, don't like onions, something like that, but the food is amazing. I mean, it's as good as you've seen on TV or whatever. I mean, it's just as good as you want to make. It's great.
Do you have first off, I'm not hanging up until I introduce chicken paprikash into the lexicon.
Oh, okay.
But that is goddamn delectable. Goddamn delectable. So,
I'm down. I just need a recipe. I'm down to try it.
Spread your wings a little.
Chicken paprikash all over that.
You will be the belle of the ball. I guarantee you, if you go with a killer chicken paprikash, you can find it online. Do not the most popular one that's on there has like a whole can of tomato paste or something in it. Stay away from the tomato. But a little bit of tomato in there, but don't go tomato heavy. That's not the way Laszlo Gorog would do it. So okay. do you have a dish? Like, what's your famous dish?
Yeah, I'm a big-time chicken carbonara, man. I'll throw it all together, and, yeah, I'll lay it on there Italian style. And it's great cooking for that many guys because you're just throwing more and more in there, and you're like, surely this is enough, surely this is enough. And you know what? It's never enough. And you never know. You have to have the leftovers for if you catch a big fire in the middle of the night, everybody comes back and you got to refuel, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. I'll show you some pictures of I had Olga make it. And you got to make the no kettle, too. That's the key. Oh. The key to victory is the no kettle.
No kettle.
Yes, or no kettle-y or whatever it is. And you do the cucumber salad with the paprika on it. It's to die for. So, do you have a place to work out there at the firehouse?
Yeah, we have a pretty big gym there at the station itself, and we also have like a designated time whenever we can go in there. And with COVID and stuff like that, we try and stay separate as much as possible at the station. So
now, you're 37, so you know you could have been doing this for 15 years. I don't know.
No, I actually, I've been doing this for about 6 years now, and I was in the, I worked in the oil field when I turned 21, went straight to the oil field.
Wow. What I'm getting at is there the young rookie scrub you can get to do all the shit work that you guys don't want to do?
Yeah, and I happen to be that young rookie scrub at my station, and I have there's plenty of shit work to go around, believe me.
All right, Nolan, I like the cut of your jib. You want to pull balls on Friday night?
I would love to. As soon as I found out you were coming to OKC, I was sending emails left and right. I would love nothing more than to come up and pull the balls on Friday.
Is it freezing there still?
Yeah, it's like 20 degrees. It's up. It was like 6 degrees yesterday, and we got 10 inches of snow. So it's so by the time you get here, they're calling for like 60 degree temperatures.
Oh,
yeah. Hopefully the thaw will hit. Because I was talking to August about it today, and he said Saturday, I think it's supposed to start warming up. So, I mean, this coming Saturday. So we should have a good thaw in by the time we get there. All right. So, Nolan, when I see you, I'm going to ask you if you made chicken paprikash.
I will have made it, and I will have pictures waiting for you.
Please. Oh. And now it's easy to cop out and go with, like, the egg noodles as the starch. Go with the no kettle.
No kettle. Gotcha.
Yeah. You can do it. You have to get the right. You have to get one of those little. Did I show you that, Gina?
It's
the grater with the little hopper on top of it. You pour
it's like
it in
a
like.
Strainer mandolin.
You pour it in like pancake batter and you slide it back and forth. It just drops into the boiling water. Oh.
Now, Adam, you got to leave time for him to actually fight fires.
He is kind of low man on the totem pole over there. Yeah.
He's going to have his work cut out for him with this no kettle.
Oh, so damn good. All right, Nolan, we'll see you on Friday night. Yeah, you dump the stuff in, and then you slide it back and forth, and it comes out the perfect size, the perfect texture, and then you just ladle the juice over the top of it. Oh, all right, let's see. Zach wants to wait a minute. He wants to pull balls on Friday, and he's a cancer survivor.
Oh no!
Yeah, now we got
let him down easy. This is a dying wish.
Oh shit!
Make a wish situation.
Hey Zach.
Hi guy.
It is a tremendous honor to speak to you for the second time in 2 weeks, Adam. I called last week with my QAnon Queens of the Stone Age debacle.
Oh yeah, that remember that the bumper sticker. You're a cancer survivor.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with a super aggressive stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2011, which is when my buddy Jeremiah turned me onto the podcast, and you were a critical piece in helping me feel some sense of normalcy during chemotherapy. Oh. And
don't be one upper, like I said before. No,
that's awesome. Thank you.
But I wanted to say, you know, I first heard your nasally drone when the Tulsa station actually picked up Loveline in 2002, and Tom Arnold was the guest that night, and it featured the Holocaust phone sex worker.
That was the first.
I screened that call.
Wow.
That is the first call you ever heard.
Wow.
Not the first call, but the first show.
Oh, the first show. Sorry, the first show you ever heard. Yeah, because that was at the very end of the show, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. I will find the picture of me and Tom Arnold from after the show. I often took pictures with guests I was fans of or whatever, and he's still red from laughing. I will find that picture.
We should find that clip, Max. Man, we may have it around somewhere. You know, I guess, and I can't tell if stuff just makes you laugh because it made you laugh and it's now kind of seared in that way, or it is that funny.
It is. It's insane.
But
the story is insane.
Yes.
It's so absurd and so out of line.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge laugher, especially at my own junk, but I could not stop laughing. And it was Tom Arnold who, and by the way, you know, Tom Arnold, especially back then, you know, he's 240 pounds. So big laugher, big guy, big laugher, hard to escape. And Drew, Drew, big guy, big laughs. And we're all that Loveline studio was 10 feet by 7 feet. Like it was a small room that we were in and a lot of not COVID friendly kind of behavior going on. In that room, but goddamn, that made me laugh. Well, we'll see if we can find it. So, Zach, we got a fireman who wants to...
that's the picture. Wow, how on earth did you find that?
Great.
I must have sent it to you at one point. I'm fat, too.
I heard
and
that.
Tom Arnold is still red. You can tell he's just recovered from a laughing fit.
He looks like he was playing the devil in some sitcom or something like
yes.
that. Yes, he's that red. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
I just want to say it would make my life, because like I said, I've been a daily listener since being turned on to the podcast. I listened to Loveline years and years before that. Still visit Loveline tapes almost on a daily basis just to hear a little witty banter between you and you and Drew.
Well, but, I appreciate it, but now we got Fireman Nolan who wants to pull balls on a Friday night.
That's true, but he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a scrub. He was a leatherneck. And now he's doing this.
Can Zach come back the next night? Is he in town for one night?
I'm in town for one night. Yeah, I'm driving him from Tulsa.
I'll tell you what, Zach. Why don't we do this? I sort of promised the seat to Nolan, but you're going to stick around for the stand-up show?
I'll be there for both, yes.
All right. Well, for the stand-up show, I'll bring you up and we'll let you say hi to the crowd.
I would love that, Adam.
All right, let's do that. Nice. Just make sure and point yourself out. It's easy. We'll do it that way. Thank you. That tape, Max Pat, is that somewhere?
Yeah, we have it. It's like 7.5 minutes, though, so I don't know how much
worth
you wanna...
it.
You got to just kind of get it.
It really all sings.
All right, I just want to listen to it then. I don't know why. Sorry. It makes me laugh.
It's fantastic.
All right, Dawson, please.
All right. You're just doing the sex talk, huh?
Right.
How do you describe yourself? Because I think they do a little too good a job sometimes, and then it's like, I'm 5'9", I'm a 38 double D, I have...
Oh, no, I keep it real. I say I'm about 5'7", long dark hair, green eyes, 36C, 24-inch waist.
Have you ever had a bachelor party and...
Hold on. hold on, we gotta go.
Have you had a bachelor party and then someone described themselves like, I mean, honestly, over the phone, they said, this woman is this way, and they get to the door, and you feel so bad for them.
Right.
Because they do weigh 220 pounds.
Listen, I was thinking about this the other day when I had a bunch of people waiting at an airport for me for a chartered plane that was like leaving, but not without me. And they said, they called me on my cell phone and they were like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm just getting off on Sherman Way. I'm on the 405 as I'm basically going down my driveway. And I'm thinking to myself, it's nice that you lie, but the fact that it takes you 25 minutes to get a block and a half from where you said you were, like eventually, yeah. Like the stripper who says how hot right. she is, isn't there going to come a time when the truth is revealed?
Yeah.
Yes, and I that's why you have to sort of, it's good to build it up a little bit, but don't, when you're still in your driveway, say you're down the street, don't say right. you're coming up. So, Lorene, you describe yourself as, is that what you are?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what do you do, like, is the talk, you're saying the talk is like extra naughty, extra good? Like, talk to Tom, see if you can.
Yeah, hi.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Hi, Tom here. Talk to me.
So what is
Visa or MasterCard?
I just want to keep these guys satisfied.
Tom's your client.
I'm your client.
Okay, cool, cool.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. I'm Sugar. How you doing?
Good, Sugar. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just relaxing a bit on my bed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing?
Do you have the 500 count sheets, the thread count?
Yeah.
I bet. Silky.
What are you wearing? This is Tom's friend, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you wearing?
Oh, well, I'm wearing a tight little gray T-shirt.
Oh, I gotta go.
Oh, God. And my nipples.
Hey, Tom, can you move your car? It's blocking mine in the driveway.
Oh, man. Well, I say my nipples are a bit hard, and I'm wearing a black thong, and I'm touching myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
sweet. Yeah. Well, listen, why don't you sort of work, like, you know what you ought to do?
What?
Here's what you ought to do, because you don't want to be too mundane, and you want to be sexual, but maybe if she did it in a sort of subliminal way, she could add a little time, like you go, like,
which,
so the guy goes, like,
favorite sports team?
What are you wearing? No, she'll go, like, I'm wearing a lacy black
Teddy Holocaust with a long Hitler camisole. Yeah, cancer. And just see, like, see if you could slide in, like, cancer, Holocaust, grandparents. And see what you could do.
That's good.
And I bet it would add some time. So, the mind works. The mind is very interesting that way.
Subliminal phone sex operator.
Right, right.
SNL ought to do this.
Right, yeah.
I think they did.
That would, yeah, they did do it, actually. But I think that would work for her.
Yeah.
Let's try that. Let's see. Lorene?
Yes?
Yeah, why don't you try that? So, okay. So here's what you do. I ask you what you're wearing, and somewhere you work in Vietnam very quickly. Very quickly. All right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. And what are you wearing, sugar?
Oh, I'm wearing a nice lace garter. Mm-hmm. With a nice black lace bra.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. How's that?
Yeah, but
Vietnam.
It was almost perfect.
Where's the Vietnam part?
Vietnam.
Yeah. Okay, see, listen. It's my fault for attempting to communicate with people that
I was amazed
show.
That I thought that you had pulled that off with her. And she was, like, right on it.
Yeah.
But it was too good to be true.
I know.
Well, maybe she actually worked it in. We just didn't notice it.
Yeah,
I did notice my penis take a little dip in the middle of her description. You're interesting. True.
Well, I'm telling you.
All right, I got to try one more time. But just Lorene?
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain. I have this subliminal suggestion idea.
Don't use that word. It's too
I have this quick word thing that's going to hurt the guy's penises, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you describe what you're wearing, I want you to very quickly work in the word Holocaust.
Holocaust?
Holocaust.
Okay.
Think of me as cancer.
Do you know what the Holocaust is?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's all right. Hey, by the way, L.A. Unified Schools District, everybody. I'm a product. God bless you guys. You're really doing a job over there. Subliminal, Holocaust. Okay. Work in cancer. Oh, work in cancer.
You know what cancer is?
Oh, great. Okay, great.
All right, work in the word cancer when you're describing what you're wearing, all right?
Oh, most definitely.
All right, you ready? Bring. Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Yeah, burn those shoes, gas them in the shower, baby. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sending you my bill.
Yeah. Send them on the train to Krakow. Yeah. No, Lorene, we may need to tweak this just a little bit more. This is...
But that was good.
Right. No, you take direction as good as any actress I've worked with in this town.
It really is good.
All right, Lorene, that's your new angle.
Yeah.
there it is.
She should actually try that tonight.
I'm thinking about the Holocaust.
All right. I think we got to take a break.
The best is the second round of laughter. The second rage.
And then hair going, and that's the best.
So good.
Worth every minute of recording.
That was one of my first nights there. Gio can probably track it down when it was exactly, but that was one of my first nights.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's see. Nick wants to pull balls on either night. Nick?
Yeah, hello?
Hey, how about Saturday night?
Saturday night?
Yeah.
I'm in California. I've got Northern California. I've got to get flights, but, I mean, wanting to do something cool like that and fun, so
wow.
That could work.
Mm.
Cool. I question Nick's dedication.
Yeah, we may not show up.
We need an alternate.
You're in Reno, though, also coming up, right?
Yeah, all right. Go do Reno, yeah, because he's already got Plan B. He's already entertaining Plan B. So, Nick, Reno. You can pull
him in. You got a two-bedroom suite, Adam.
Luis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hey, you're the guy I see at Laguna Seca?
Yeah, I brought my little wagon to help you out.
Yeah, Luis, whenever I go to do the Monterey Rolex Historics, Luis meets us out there. He's got his little radio flyer wagon. He's got his detailing stuff in it, and he pulls it over to our pit or our paddock, and he wipes the car down, which is fine by me.
I brought tools, but I haven't upgraded to that yet, so wiping down is no problem for now.
Are you in but you're not in Oklahoma City.
No, sir. I'm in Stockton, California right now, but I'll be in Oklahoma City for both shows.
Oh, you will? All right. You want to pull the balls?
This is the kind of go-getter you want.
Yes. Yeah, so you're going to pull the balls on Saturday night?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Sweet.
Then you're in, Luis.
Done.
Leave the wagon.
Oh, copy that. No problem.
All right,
man. I hope to see you there.
I will. You're going to be there. And then I think we're coming out to Laguna Seca for a race maybe in May or June or something. There's a race we're going to do there. So come say hi.
All right.
But we'll see
definitely.
We'll see you in OKC before that. Bricktown Comedy Club, February 26th, 27th. We'll do the live podcast during the early show, and then we'll pull the balls and do the stand-up show for the late show.
I can't stop thinking about,
And it's so it's so perfect that her name is like Merlene or something.
Lorene,
and then it became Sugar.
Sugar. What are you wearing? Ooh, I'm wearing a gray t-shirt. Ooh.
That woman is a 49-year-old mother four now.
Oh, for sure.
Possibly grandmother.
Possibly then.
Yeah, I mean, that call, is that call 20 years old? I mean,
2002. So yeah, coming up on it.
Oh, coming up on it. All right. Jay Moore is waiting in the wings, possibly. All right. We will take a break. Jay Moore is going to be pulling in here any second. We'll talk to him right after this.